Coming up now here on KVOE, it's time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow-restricted rehabilitation, a progressive, evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBondAuto.com. Live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood in studio with our studio engineer, Dan Courtright, today. And just a slight bit of news that's come out here in the last 24 hours, guys.
Mm-hmm. You know, just when you think you might not have a whole lot to visit about.
No.
Not
the case.
Not the case at all. The sports world just continues to give and give.
It certainly does. And, you know, not that we wouldn't have had stuff to talk about, though, with plenty going on in conference tournament, Selection Sunday, and, you know, a team that has a coach in Jerome Tang that believes that they're in and laid out the very detailed case as to why the Wildcats will be in. A lot of the bracketologists and the prognosticators do not agree with his assessment.
Well, and you know, and hey, you know, there's he certainly has some, you know, compelling arguments to make.
I agree. What they've done,
I can't disagree with him. However, I don't think they're going to get in, and I'm not saying they don't deserve to be in, but you know, there's probably a good Lord, could be 5, 10, 12 coaches across the country making some of the same arguments as to why their team should get into the tournament, but they won't.
Sure. And I've always thought that if you look at those last four in and then the first four out and the next four out, if you're in that group, you're the reason why you're not in.
Yeah.
And you're not – there aren't any, like, really, really good teams – in any of that group that you're going to look at and say, oh my gosh, how could they not get in? Because everybody above that is going to just be in. And I don't think that it's necessarily a situation with Kansas State, per se, where they haven't gotten enough good things done on their resume. I think it's really just been some of the, you know, guys, you look at some of their schedule and they really don't have any terrible losses. They did, boy. How did they lose to Oklahoma State?
Yeah,
that I'm not sure.
That loss is a head scratching loss.
Yes, it is.
But you look at some of their losses. I mean, early on, they had a loss to a top 25 Miami team. They had a loss to they lost to Nebraska, but Nebraska has turned out to be a lot better than people thought,
and probably will be in the tournament.
They're probably a tournament team, so that goes in their favor. They lost by one at Texas Tech, which will go in their favor. You know, they lost to Houston, they lost to Oklahoma, lost to Oklahoma State, lost at top 25 BYU. TCU they lost to, they've been getting votes pretty much all year. You know, so they've, a lot of their games, well, that Cincinnati loss was, that hurt as well.
That was a killer.
I think it's just the volume of losses, but you look at who they've lost to, there's a lot of top 25 losses on their schedule, so yeah. I can understand why coach would feel that way. Now, some of their wins have not been overly. Their overtime win against North Alabama is not exactly what I would call a quality win.
That will not get you points with the bracketologist. No, like I said, I think he can certainly make some compelling arguments as to why they should be in. I don't disagree at all. But unfortunately, it's just not enough in comparison to some other teams. And but hey, who knows? Maybe we'll be surprised when they announce the brackets and they'll get in. But I certainly doubt it. I watched teams last night certainly play themselves potentially out of the tournament.
Sure,
Virginia being one.
Sure,
who lost in overtime. on an NC State, who is a 10 seed, who will now play for a ACC championship today.
Yeah.
You know, so it's those kind of teams that will then bump others out, like a K-State, for example.
For sure.
Oregon, same way. They're now into the Pac-12 championship game, upsetting Arizona in the semifinals.
The final Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, the final Pac-12 championship.
How wild does that sound?
Oh, I know.
You know, just feels to say, the last ever Pac-12 championship with all the conference titles that conference has produced. Coming up on the show today, we'll be talking with both basketball coaches for Emporia High, Carolyn Dorsey, Lee Baldwin, to recap the Spartan seasons. And Dylan, obviously, not the end of the season that either team probably wanted, but still successful seasons, I think, for both the Spartans and Lady Spartans.
Yeah, most definitely. The girls make it to the state tournament. They get that state win, and then ran into a really good Mays South team, identical record, long winning streaks. One of those had to give last Friday night at Wadatorium, and the Singate girl that's going to Butler Community College, she was going to the basket left and right, and she was really good and was named the Ark Valley Chisholm Trail League Division I Player of the Year, and she had school records and I think assists per game and I think steals. I saw something on Twitter about that, but yeah, that was arguably a tough one to swallow, and then they come back and they draw the top seed Andover, who got upset by Seaman in the semifinals, and it looked like a good promising start. Then Andover took control,
just kind of ran out of gas in the third period.
Yeah, and that third quarter was pretty brutal. And Brooke Walker going to go play at Utah. Elena Shetler, Aaliyah Green, their big three really put it on them in the third quarter. I think it was 25-8 third quarter. But, unfortunately, Andover team was really good as well. So
yeah, and the boys team obviously wishes that, I think that Coach Baldwin will say, I don't know for sure, I'm thinking he's hoping that they had a couple less injuries this year.
Yeah, you had the ones at the top of the season. They had, who was it? Cooper Reck was out at the start. Nolan Jacob was out at the start. And then Chase Harrington was out. So that was three guys. Cooper came back third game of the year. They got Nolan Jacob back during the great, right before Christmas at Great Bend. Chase Harrington came back at Hayden. And then they were kind of full strength. And then River Peters went down with that injury and missed a collegiate game. And then Sheldon Stewart had that foot injury, missed the Manhattan game in the middle of February. Then he came back.
Hard to generate consistency for that team.
Yeah,
this year.
And then the whole winter weather.
Yeah, the winter weather.
They played chaos on both teams because they played that doubleheader at Hayden on January 2nd, and both those teams didn't play again until 16 days later.
I had totally forgotten about how that
worked
out.
I feel like that was a big part of the season as well, was 16 days in between games.
That'll be a big topic of conversation coming up with Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin. We have no Main Street Athletes of the Week brought to you by Emporia Main Street, but those will be coming up again soon. Next week, is that what it's, or 2 weeks?
I think 2 weeks.
Okay, so 2 weeks is when that will start for the spring sports season. So,
we'll, of course,
have the opportunity for you to nominate your athletes. If you had an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of us here at the station, 620-342-1400. That's 342-1400. Or you can email Dylan, SherwoodD@KVOE.com. That's SherwoodD@KVOE.com to be one of our Emporia Main Street, either Emporia High or Area Athlete of the Week. And the last thing that we'll say before we go to a break here, Emporia State looking for a new men's basketball coach. Craig Doty departing after six seasons. He is headed down to Texas to take over a Houston Christian program that was led by the same guy for 33 years, and he amassed over 500 wins down there with the Huskies. And coming into another program that has been kind of like all the programs that Coach Doty has taken jobs for. They've been programs that have been in need of repair, and he was able to build a couple into national championships. Emporia State, of course, was finished last in the MIAA when he took over, obviously was able to turn them around, get them to the program's first ever NCAA tournament win last year, and kind of had, I feel like, the stars aligned a little bit and thought, you know what, this is going to be my year to get a ring with this team, with the roster that he had put together. But unfortunately, injuries and fate, you can't really control that, but that they had other plans. And it was ultimately, you know, I think the total at the end of the year in terms of the guys who were on the roster during fall camp, I believe it was 70 missed games worth of injuries or illness for the team. Just too much to overcome.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that's impossible. I mean, you mentioned it with the Emporia High boys in terms of just, you know, having that consistency and then whatnot, but they took it to an extreme in terms of injuries guys missing games. I mean, I'm sure Coach Doty felt like he was snake bit all season long.
Oh.
Very unfortunate because they certainly had the makings of what could have been a really good season.
Oh yeah.
Hey, credit to the team for treading water like they did.
You
know, to be able to get through what they did, winning record.
I mean, listen, they had 12 losses. They had 11 of those losses were within single digits in the last minute. And about half of those were like 1 to 2 possession games in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you could have flipped half of those, they may still be in the tournament. I mean, you're going in and you're, instead of 19 and 12, let's say you just win 5 more. So what, you're 24 and 7 at that point? You probably got a shot. You're probably not playing in the first round of the MIAA tournament. So you're there, you know, you're straight into the quarterfinals. And listen, you can never just assume at Division II you're going to win a national title because of regionalization. Because in that case, if that all works out, you're going to have to go play, you know, probably an MIAA team at some point in your own regional tournament, and they're going to be good teams. And hey, Coach Doty talked about how good the Northern Sun is and the other, you know, conferences that they would be against. But I think the job that they did keeping everybody together, and give the seniors a lot of credit too, and you know, the Atavian Butlers, the Owen Longs, the Elijah Comethiers, the Darius Yohis, of kind of bringing guys together. It seemed like the team, after Solomon Arebu got hurt, which was just the latest injury, the guys finally said, all right, we're gonna have to come together and make this work, and we're going to sink or swim right now based on what we do. And they were able to figure that out. And, I wanted them to beat Lincoln so bad. I wanted one more day up there. Well, I wanted to extend my hotel room.
You know, I think that certainly the coaching staff got the most that they could out of the guys that were there. So, but yeah, hey, and, you know, congratulations to Coach Doty. It's a Division I opportunity.
Sure.
And so we certainly wish him well. You always hate to lose a good coach, but
yes,
by the same token, it's a hopefully a good career move for him.
Yeah.
And if he turns that thing around, you would think bigger things are down the road, too.
This guy would be, I mean, any type of a job, from a mid-major job, and if he does a really, really good job, I mean, you know, you see guys that get called up to the power, well, I guess it'll be the power 4 now, but
right.
they get called up from, you know, hey, this team made a Cinderella run at the NCAA tournament. It happens all the time. So
I guess my question would be, I'm not speculating at all, would Coach Lavery follow him, or would Coach Lavery be in line for an Emporia State gig, I wonder?
That's a great question. Hey, listen, I don't know what Coach Lavery's – I don't know what his desires are. I don't know what the plans are. He hasn't been announced. Nobody on Coach Doty's Husky staff has been announced. I would be happy. I would love to have Coach Lavery back. Coach Lavery, you know, I've told people at Hornet Talk, I literally texted him almost during the season. It felt like 3 or 4 times a week, trying to get practice time. So working with him was great. And working with Coach Doty was – I only had one season. My parents will be really disappointed because they loved hearing him on Hornet Talk. You know, he's pretty engaging there with the fans. He knows how to work a microphone. That will bid him very well at the Division I level, too, by the way.
Yep.
But They were both so great to work with, you know, especially me coming in as the new guy, you know, replacing a guy who'd been here for 36 years. They were fantastic. So I'll miss Coach Doty, even though it was just 1 year. He'll always be one of my Hornet coaches, and I certainly think that he'll do great. And whether or not Coach Lavery wants to go there, go somewhere else, you know, apply for the job, it's going to be a national search, according to David Spafford. That doesn't mean that they can't do a national search and still wind up with a selection that's right here at home, though. So I don't know the answer to that, but I think that Coach Lavery would be fantastic either way. I don't know what he'll decide.
Yeah, and I'm just making an assumption. I Coach Doty and Coach Lavery, they've been together forever. Coach Lavery's been Coach Doty's right-hand man forever. You just wonder, I mean, if Coach Lavery is ready to take a program on his own, I can't think that would necessarily be a bad hire. I think it'd be a pretty good one myself. No, but, I'm just
– I mean, he definitely knows how to recruit. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, if you can recruit, that's eight-tenths of it right there. So let's take a timeout. We'll come back, and I believe, Dylan, we've got – is Coach Dorsey going first
Coach
this
Dorsey
morning?
Coach Dorsey
will be joining us here first. Both coaches on the phone with us here. But we'll be right back with Coach Dorsey. We'll recap the what was a magical Lady Spartan season, 20-game winning streak, 22-3 finish. So many good things happened. It was a fantastic year. Of course, we brought it all to you on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE with the voice of the Spartans, Dylan Sherwood, on the voice of the Spartans, KVOE. And so we'll start recapping Spartan basketball for the year when we come back here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year, and the fun is here right now. It's Chevy truck season, and that means you get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ 4x4 when you trade in an eligible Chevy model. Or get a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 custom as low as $45,745 with eligible trade-in. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw that you make up to $500. Remember, let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event is right here, right now, at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer, taxes and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Over in women's D1 basketball, last Sunday's Champ Week action was filled with great performances. In the SEC, South Carolina won their second straight conference tournament, defeating LSU 79-72 in the title game. South Carolina is 32-0. They've sealed back-to-back undefeated regular seasons and have won 74 of their last 75 games. The 2022 national champions' only loss in the past 2 years came at the hands of Iowa in last year's Final Four. Speaking of the Hawkeyes, they won their third straight Big Ten title, defeating Nebraska 94-89 in overtime. In her final conference game, Caitlin Clark finished with 34 points and took home the tournament MVP award.
We just want to keep having fun with each other and enjoying these moments, and it never gets old cutting any net. You know, I feel like we're pretty good at that now, and you know, hopefully we get to do it a few more times here coming up in late March.
Over in Vegas, USC won the final Pac-12 women's tournament, defeating Stanford 74-61 in the title game. The Trojans ascended to the number 3 spot in the AP rankings, their highest mark since 1986. Another title in the Pac's last dance, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Colorado, who won the 2024 skiing championship last weekend. The Buffaloes took home their title with 4 first place finishes. Their victory stopped Utah's reign, who had won the last 4 skiing championships. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to SMST here this morning as we recap what was a fantastic year for Spartan basketball. Our Emporia High interviews for today will both be focused on the Spartans and Lady Spartans basketball teams as we put a bow on the winter sports season. And what a season it was, a 22-3 year for the Lady Spartan girls, a fourth place finish at state, and first win over Washburn Rural in quite some time, and the first Centennial League Championship in quite a while as well. So many league awards. All five of the Lady Spartan starters got all Centennial League honors, and we now speak to the 2024 Centennial League Coach of the Year for the third time in her 11 years at Emporia High, Carolyn Dorsey, on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio 9 line. Coach, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on a wonderful season.
Hey, thank you, guys. You summarized it pretty well there.
Well, we get paid to do that here on this show.
It feels as good just when you say it as my experience.
Well, we're going to talk about it a lot more because you guys really deserve all the accolades. And, you know, you individually, your players individually, and then you and your players collectively as well. A 22-3 season. Coming in, I have to imagine, and I remember when we had you back on to preview the season, you know, you had some pretty high expectations for what you thought this team could achieve this year. Is this about in the neighborhood of what you thought your girls might be able to do?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of that might have been a little bit of smoke and mirrors.
sure.
We wanted them to do that. You know, getting 17-year-olds to execute is always a bit more of a challenge, but we have high standards, and we expected this group to achieve highly, but if I'm going to be honest with everybody, I think we overachieved. When you look at us versus those other teams at the state tournament, we don't look anything like them. But because we're tough and scrappy and disciplined and fundamentally sound, we had a shot every night, and that's all you can ask for. So I'm not going to lie to you. We had high expectations, but I would not have said all of that would have happened.
Well, and Coach, too, I have to give your coaching staff and certainly the kids credit, because going into the year, and again, I'm kind of on the outside looking in as I'm not, you know, around the program anymore, but I'm sitting there thinking 12 seniors, which I'm thinking, how is that going to work? Because we all know, you know, every kid wants to play, as you've mentioned before, and obviously, I mean, you know, they all feel like they should play. So I was always questioning, I wonder how this is going to mesh. I mean, I didn't know how it, I just didn't know how it would come together. But hey, credit to them, it did, and kids certainly sacrificed and were willing to be just part of what was going to happen during the season. So to me, that was just a huge part of it, just how the chemistry came together.
Yeah, you know, they've been together for a long time, and I can't sit here and say I understand it. I got to play most of my career, and so I imagine it's difficult. You know, everybody wants to play. That's the reward of all those hours of practicing and line sprints, and, you know, going out and play was when you got to turn loose. And it was a challenge. If I'm going to be honest with you, they weren't happy all the time. I know parents weren't happy all the time. It's kind of my time to say that because I know it was said behind me. So, but it is what it is. I think when you look at what they've done, and I think a lot of that might have been more outside influence than the kids themselves. You know, I think it's always hard to take your hat off as a parent and say, I'm here for the greater good. You know, that's tough. But, you know, the kids, for the most part, were pretty darn good. I know accepting your role is hard. We talk about that all the time. Coach Miller, be a starter in your role. If your role is off the bench, if your role is a hype man at the end of the bench, then do that and do it well. And for the most part, they did. There was a couple hiccups at times, but you can't fault them for that.
And, Coach, you know, with the difficult schedule that you did with this, you know, that has to feel special, too. You know, seeing 6A's left and right, you know, Hayden was good, and you know, of course, Glacier's Edge, you beat two really good 6A teams, one that was in the Final Four in 6A.
Well, I think if you go back to our league, Manhattan, Rural, us, and Hayden all at the state tournament. Ottawa, state tournament. Mm-hmm. Great Bend playing to go to the state tournament. I mean, I told everybody, I get frustrated a lot because people, oh, you guys' schedule is easy. You have 12 seniors. There's a lot more that goes into it, people. when you got a lot of D1 athletes you're looking at, both seniors or not, you know, you still got to go out and perform. And so, that being said, our league was competitive. I think we had one or two games, even Topeka High. Those girls are better athletes than some of ours. And I love our kids, but those girls can scoot. And they might not be as talented, which is what we went on. You know, besides maybe another school, I think our league was a challenge every night. So, yeah, they went out and did what we wanted them to do. People have to understand with 12 seniors, we're still coaching. Our staff does a lot behind the scenes that people don't see, and that can be kind of frustrating at times, too. They think 12 seniors, oh, just roll the ball out. We didn't even need to practice, is what I heard. You know? But that being said, the kids bought in, and that's what you need.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody here in this room believes that, Coach. one thing that I do believe is that you guys really became, and, you know, whether people were happy or not, you guys really bonded together and really captured, I think, the imagination of the entire city with your 20-game winning streak. And I'm not sure where that ranks in Emporia High history, but I know it's got to be up there. It has to be up there. What was that like as you took that early loss against Hayden and then kept on going through and just picking up one win, as you like to say, you know, two at a time, and then the weather tried to stop you, and that couldn't stop you, and then eventually, you know, you guys just kept on building this momentum. What was it like being on that snowball, to use a weather pun, throughout the entire year?
It was really great. You know, that early loss hurt. I felt like I counseled Dylan more that day than I got counseled myself.
I'd believe that.
It stung. And I say this 100 times over. I don't think we do as well as we did without that loss. As a coach, I learned some things. Kermer and I had to have a little heart-to-heart. And I think after that, she performed the way she was supposed to all season long. You know? And so I think that loss was important. But the snowball was amazing. As a coach, that's what you want to be a part of. And you said capture the city's heart, eyes, whatever. Again, when you get to that state tournament and you take that court and you see those people and the crowd erupts, it is just a feeling that you can't describe it to people. It's just it's absolutely amazing to see that the town fell in love with what we believed in. And it hasn't been easy. This, you know, I think, again, the story is 12 seniors. This has been building. We have to go back to when I started. I had a Braxton Stewart's class. They were pretty good. Really, I had 8 seniors. They were really good.
Hey, and
I'm
were a good. Big Braxton Stewart fan here, Coach.
There you go. I was like, me too. And then we fell off for a little bit because I lost 8 seniors. And we rebuilt. And Gracie Gilpin's class came in as freshmen. And we rebuilt. I mean, it wasn't just poof. This senior class did this year. People have to understand that. There was a lot of kids that laid the groundwork for this to happen. And it has been, I would say, honestly, a half a decade of fights and things that we believe in and standing up for that we might have gotten some pushback on from our people. And I fought for it for a reason, because I knew if we did, this group could be and achieve pretty highly. So I need Dylan to fact check that. I'd like to have that accolade as one of the most, I think, the winningest history in Emporia High history.
Sounds like you got an assignment, Dylan.
I will.
I was like, Dylan's a pretty good fact check. He's pretty quick to tell me how long it took us to
sure.
rule at a league title. So, Dylan, I think this is one you could kind of give me here.
I will go to my source, Bill Neinstead, next.
There you go.
Sure, I know who to go to, Coach.
Well, Carolyn Dorsey is our guest. She is the head girls basketball coach for Emporia High. Obviously, once you get into the state tournament, there's even a higher level of pressure. You mentioned, I mean, the crowds that you guys drew to the arena were fantastic. And for you guys to pull off that first round win, give yourself a shot in the semifinals against a really good May South team. Obviously, Andover was really talented as well, but you know, you would have loved to have had the storybook ending. Obviously, you guys didn't put on the uniform thinking that you were going to lose. I have very confident in that. You know, in terms of the state tournament, what will you remember the most about seeing your girls out there win a game and get your best finish at state in, you know, about 20 years?
You know, what I'll remember, honestly, and it's going to sound corny, but that's okay.
That
when
is
I looked
okay.
up. It was my birthday, which that's a minor part. But I looked up, and not only were the girls nodding their heads when that crowd erupted, like, you could just see them going, yes. Like, it's, again, it's just such an invigorating feeling. But I looked up to my left behind our bench, and there's a group of about 20 third, fourth, and fifth grade boys cheering and clapping, and they had their own student section, and that's the future. And that's what you wanted. And that was my son and a bunch of my boyfriend's kids. And that's what I'll remember, honestly. I mean, the game was great and getting that win, and that was huge because I don't like the monkey on my back of, oh, you haven't won a first-round game. Okay, we got over that. So then, but what I remember is that my son living his best life for these kids and the amount of lives that these girls and the girls in the past have changed. And that's how you build success, is that group of 20-some boys that were chanting and had their own miniature student section will be on that floor someday because of what this group's have done. And I think that's what the community has to understand, is that's what it takes. And when I fight for my departure times because I want to leave at a certain time and I'm told I can't, I'm going to stand up for what I want to do because that's how you get to greatness. And we can go on down the line of examples of that. But that's what I'll remember, is those kids, I looked up at them, and you could just see them drooling to get down there. And I'm sure there's other little girls. There's the little ball girls. Eliza Mitchell, great kid, third grade girl. I mean, her eyes on that floor. She told her mom after the game she couldn't wait to get back on that court. There's my boss's daughter, a third grade girl, same thing. She couldn't sleep because she wanted to come back and be a ball girl for those kids. That's what you remember. The game is great. It is what it is. You know, we competed, and no, we wanted to win. But honestly, guys, we're a fourth place team. We don't have the kids that they do. Andover looks like a college team, and May South, those girls were far more athletic than us. And we didn't play well. You know, had we played well, I think it's a 50-50 split with Mays. Andover probably beats us almost 9 times out of 10. But that's what I'll take away from that tournament, is the lives that were changed, the fans in the stands that were in tears for these kids, or, you know, the lady that had cancer that reached out and said, I had to come in person to see you. I mean, that's why you coach. Again, winning is great, but when you can impact people's lives like that in a community, I mean, that's what the bigger picture is.
And, Coach, it's back to the drawing board, you know, kind of rebuilding stage now. What does the future look like?
The future's going to be, it'll be a rebuilding year. There's no doubt. Anytime you lose a strong class, again, the only difference when we lost Gracie's class, and I always reference Gracie because that's the name most people will know, this group was behind them. We've got to fix some things. But I'm going to go on record too, guys. Our district has got to do a better job of aligning athletics and prioritizing it. And it's so incredibly frustrating because we don't. And I've had conversations with high ups about it and fixing it, and I get nowhere. And so this group, what they've done is a result of parents and me and my staff and a lot of volunteers. And until we get our district aligned athletically and prioritizing sports, and prioritizing athletes, will never get back to this level again until you find all these parents willing to dive into these kids. And I think that's what has to happen. You know, the second and third grade girls will be your next power class. It sounds stupid because I sound crazy talking about 9-year-olds. There's 26 kids playing right now. We got 3 teams going. Amanda Gutierrez, Brody, and myself have been working with them. Me, not as much because I've been busy. But we've been there helping them. They come in practice in our gym. You know, the sixth grade group, like I said, they've been playing. They need some consistency. Fifth grade group of girls is going. It'll come again. But honestly, with COVID and then just not near as aligned as we should athletically, it's going to take a little bit. But the freshman class this year did a good job. The Hess girl is a long body and a decent player, and there's a couple of guards there that are all right. The eighth grade class is decent. They'll take their tail lickings because they're going to be young. But you grow up in the Centennial League pretty fast.
Well, Coach, I guess I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. Sorry to do it on the live radio, but do you have it in you to rebuild this thing and continue to try to fight it?
You guys, that's like if I had a dollar for every time I was asked that in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, it's a great question, Tim. to be honest with you, I don't know what my future holds. I'm going to take a break for a little bit. The season's long. I need to mentally kind of – I got in a car accident the day before state. I got pink eye from my point guard at Washburn Rule. Been sick. I need a moment to just breathe for a little bit. But, you know, to be honest, Jim, the question is, and this is the question I would ask higher ups, will you allow me to do what I need to do? I've shown you what we can do. And sometimes that's not enough. And the question is, pouring all of that into a group, and I have my son's group coming. And I have been told multiple times that it's either them or my family. And I don't like that ultimatum. I don't appreciate the rules that were put in place. I told you, they tried not to let my son ride the bus. They didn't think it was appropriate. And I argued. I said, why would you take that from him? Why wouldn't you let him learn from a championship program and learn how to treat women correctly? Like, it blows my mind. So when I get put in these situations where I have to choose my kid, my family, over silly rules that I think shouldn't apply, I have a hard time putting my heart back into that again when I could do it with my kid. So wow. To answer your question, that's the long. I don't know what that answer is, and I'm sorry to the community to be honest, but that's what I'm debating.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you I've been on a lot of buses for, you know, and I know it's different at the collegiate level, but, you know, when I was at Newman, they had just had their kid. They had their four-year-old, and he was on the bus for the, you know, correct. They took him to a couple games, and he was there, and he was part of the team. And so,
don't make me choose my kid. He's taken a backseat for a long time. And why would you make it harder on coaches in this district when we are struggling to field educators and coaches, from what I hear, right?
Sure.
So don't make it harder on us when we're willing to pour our heart into something. You know, don't make me have to choose. And that's where I get frustrated.
Well,
so to answer your question, I do have it in me. But that other factor is pretty big.
Absolutely. Yeah. Understand.
Well, Coach, we ask a lot. You know, you say, hey, we need a break. And we ask more of the basketball coaches and football as well with Coach Klinsman. But mm-hmm. with you and Coach Baldwin, you know, Dylan's talking to you guys all the time. Then we talk to you.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I think Coach Doty probably does have an idea, actually. Yeah. But, you know, you guys do that. We have pregame. We have postgame. You come on this show. Really want to thank you for all of your support this year, because we couldn't do, and I know from covering Emporia State, and I know that Dylan will attest to this, that his job would be impossible without the access that you give and the time that you give to us here at the station to help make our coverage possible. So we really thank you for everything that you've done for the program. I thank you for helping out our station, helping out Dylan to bring him along as a young broadcaster, and congratulate you on a fantastic year. And I probably speak for a lot of people. I hope you are back next year.
Yeah. Yes,
I hope
sir.
So too.
We appreciate your guys' coverage. It is. I know Dylan is, he's running around all the time and probably stressing all of us out, but it's part of the gig. And I know Dylan loves these kids. You guys do a great job with the coverage. Anytime we can get these kids advertised and publicized and people get to see it, and that's how you grow it. Those little girls should want to be these kids, and the only way to do that is to keep getting them coverage. And I think it's great. So it's no problem. Like I said, you know me, I'll come tell my story anytime.
I bet you will. I bet you will, Coach. Coach, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you so much, and we'll hope to see you back and be talking to you again here in October.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Carolyn
Thanks,
Coach. Dorsey on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line, the Centennial League Coach of the Year for the third time. Wow, that's some big comments there, and she's never shy about sharing.
Well, and that's why I really wasn't too shy of asking the question.
Sure,
I
know she'd be you know her better than I
know
do.
Her. I know her well. I mean, I've known her since she was a junior in high school, guys, so yes. I've known her for a while.
No, that is fair. Well, we went a bit long because of that. Let's go ahead and take another time out. We'll recap some things, though, after. Let's get Lee Baldwin going on the line here, though, and we'll get him on next to recap Emporia High's boys basketball season right here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbottAuto.com.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy truck season, and that means you get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ 4x4 when you trade in an eligible Chevy model. Or get a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 custom as low as $45,745 with eligible trade-in. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw that you make up to $500. Remember, let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event is right here, right now, at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer, taxes and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to the show. We are recapping the basketball season for the Emporia High School teams. We just got done talking with Lady Spartan head coach Carolyn Dorsey. We're now joined by Lee Baldwin, the head boys basketball coach for the Spartans, finishing the year 13-8 this season. Coach Baldwin, thank you so much for the time.
Hey, no problem, guys. Glad to help out.
13-8 this year for you, Coach. Obviously, there were a lot of adversity this year in terms of snow. You guys had more than your fair share of injuries. It seems like all the basketball teams, the girls, I guess, stayed pretty healthy,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Emporia State men and women and you guys all had more than your fair share of injuries this year. What are your thoughts as you look back in its totality, the 2023-24 season with a 13-8 Spartan record and another winning season for you?
You know, to start the year, we suited up 8 guys for varsity basketball games is pretty unprecedented. You know, we had a lot of sickness, injuries, cancellations of games, like you said. You know, it was difficult to get in the flow consistently throughout the year. It felt like there was times where it was just, all right, what's going to happen today? it felt like that for long stretches of our season where somebody was either hurt, sick, game canceled, things like that. So, you know, I thought our guys did a good job, or the best we all could, of, you know, getting through those things and trying to be as competitive as possible.
Did you feel like that you got everything that you could out of this bunch, Coach?
You know, I would say scheme-wise, yes. I mean, I feel like we did more scheming for teams and preparing for each game differently this year than any year I've ever coached. Tried really hard to put a specific plan together against every team, just based off the personnel we had and the personnel they had. I think a lot of guys improved substantially this year. I think if there's one thing I would look back on this season and say, man, if we had done this just a little bit better, I think we would have, you know, been a 15-win team with just perimeter shooting. So to say we got everything out of them, I don't know if that's necessarily true just because we struggled to shoot from the perimeter. But in terms of competing and, you know, trying to be as competitive as possible in games, I think outside of 2 or 3, we were able to do that.
And, Coach, I think you mentioned this to me after the Paola win, and then the next night you go to Washburn Rural, and the two highest scoring outputs for you guys in those two games of 83 and 75. You mentioned after the Paola game about, you know, changing that offense. And I think you also said to me you wish you would have had that earlier in the season.
Yeah, we put some things in late in the year. Just Paola ran a different style of defense. They ran a 1-1-3, so we put in a 5 outlook against them. And then we shot it so well, and the guys felt comfortable doing it. We ran the exact same thing the next night against Washington Rural. And obviously having River and Shelby combined for 62 doesn't hurt any.
No, I don't think it does.
Oh, that was so impressive.
And then against Andover Central, we, you know, I would say we've reverted back, but we were back into our high 40s style of basketball again. And I think for us offensively this year, being consistent and trying to get ways to get easy shots and not have to work so hard on offense for 30, 45 seconds just to get a good look for the guy you want with something that, you know, was just, it was really difficult for us this year to find that consistency offensively. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that was a large part on why we were able to, or not able to be more efficient.
Well, and you mentioned the Andover Central game in Substate, and we're talking with Lee Baldwin, the head boys basketball coach for Emporia High. I mean, you were down by 20 in that game, 38-18, and probably not looking very good, but you guys get a 25-5 run, and obviously your offense really changed, you know, it dramatically in that game from first half to second half, and, you know, your guys fought back and gave you a shot in that game.
Yeah, I give our guys a lot of credit at halftime of that game for, you know, I challenged them and said, is this the way you guys want to go out? Is this the way you seniors want to end your career? You know, losing by 20. And at that point in the game, if anybody said, hey, you're going to lose by 30, I don't think anybody would have been surprised. So for our guys to come back and tie the game up and have a chance to win the game was really impressive for them. And unfortunately, it was just a little too late.
Coach, how would you assess the look of this program moving forward? What does the future hold, do you think?
You know, our schedule changes some next year. 7 of the 11 guys that suited up are back, so have some experience there. I think the biggest thing for our program moving forward in our league and then as tough as 5A West is the skill level has got to improve throughout our program. And I think that was evident at the state tournament. You know, every team there has multiple guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot, and they're not scoring in the low 40s. So I think that's the biggest challenge for us moving forward is we've got to be able to put 3, 4, 5 guys on the floor that can make plays and be a threat to score 15 to 18 in a game.
And, Coach, that schedule is going to be very difficult. You know, you're seeing, you know, Liberal next year. And
do you get to make another trip to Liberal?
Yes, unfortunately. Great Bend is on that schedule again, too, and they were at the state tournament. You know, Cape and Mount Carmel was at the state tournament, state champions in 5A. They'll be at the El Dorado tournament. So, the non-con is going to be a daunting task, and Junction going to have the Centennial League player of the year back in Jackson Austin and Larkin Turner. Manhattan will still be solid. Washburn Rule will be good. Hayden will be better. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge coming up next winter.
Yes, I think the schedule will be more difficult. You got to beat good teams. Can't hide. And, you know, for us to take the next step, we've got to be able to show that we can beat good teams. We had a couple of instances of that this year. The more good teams you can beat, the more confidence your guys have, and it feels what you're doing is working.
Lee Baldwin, head boys basketball coach for the Emporia High boys, finishing the year with a 13-8 record. We told Coach Dorsey this too, Coach. You know, we have a lot that, you know, we ask you to put on your plate in terms of pregame, postgame, and then sometimes on Saturday we have you come on and do another interview about your team. So we ask a lot of your time, and we really appreciate you being willing to give us that time, to give us the access so that we can provide the kind of coverage coverage that, you know, I think that we need to for the community. And really appreciate you helping out Dylan as a young broadcaster and his new role as the voice of the Spartans this year, and for coming on with us all year and in so many different capacities. So, Coach, thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you back and seeing what you guys can do next year.
My pleasure. Really, really appreciate the support you guys give to not just our team, but all of our sports teams and to our community. You guys do a great job, and it's easy to come on when I'm working with good people. So thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Enjoy your offseason. Lee Baldwin.
Thank you.
Head boys basketball coach for Emporia High, 13-8 record. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I'm the new guy here, but just from talking to both, and I don't go to nearly as many games. I don't know how many games you went to. I went to a lot more of the girls' games, obviously, because the MIAA tournament was a pretty brief stay for me this year, unfortunately. So
yeah.
I got to see three of their games at state, so I got to see them a little bit more. But just from talking to both coaches and watching the limited action that I did get to, I think Emporia is really lucky to have those two coaches. I like both coaches a lot, a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed working with Carolyn for many years, and then didn't get a chance to work with Coach Baldwin. Obviously, he came after I had already was done. But yeah, I think the programs are in very good hands. And,
I agree.
You know, they've had a nice run here of late.
They did.
Certainly, the girls have, obviously, three straight trips to state.
Yeah.
That's
hard to do.
That is. I mean, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to get there.
I mean, yeah, sure, there's a monkey on the back, and she referenced it in the interview of, can't win a first-round state game. It ain't easy just to get to state.
No.
You know,
no.
This isn't like the lower classes where you've got these really bad, you know, sub-states, and, well, some team with 12 wins is going to get through. That's not the way it works. You got to earn your way to state in 5A, 6A.
And of course, when the sub-state brackets came out and seeing that Great Bend was on the other side for the girls, I'm like, this is going to be a more competitive game than what it was in the regular season meeting. But from what I saw from the girls in that sub-state title game, is just to keep putting the pressure like they've done all year, and them getting to state, you know, that was, you know, I said multiple times there were good wins for that group. There were a lot of resume wins for them. And you look at the boys, man, they had a resume win over Wichita Collegiate, which arguably was probably the win of the season. And that was a mid-season tournament game without River Peters in that game.
Sure.
Win that game by four. I think another signature win was that Washburn Rule win they had at the end of the season, because that was a, you know, you're coming off a very lopsided win the night before at Paola on the road. You travel back home, and then you got to go to Washburn Rule. You know, I was kind of questioning. I'm like, What are the boys going to do for an encore at Washburn Rule? That was arguably one of the games I'm going to remember. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, without the couple of, like, Cooper Reck, you know, playing the first two games without Cooper, you know, they beat an Ottawa team that was ranked in 4A, you know, made it to the sub-state championship game in 4A, you know, had a Great Bend team on the ropes. At Spartan Gymnasium, a Great Bend team that was at the state tournament. Gabe Mace South fits in the 1-8 matchup. Great Bend could have easily won that game. Bremer kid is really good. Got an offer from Lance Leipold. I saw that on Twitter earlier this week. But you look at the schedule next year for both these teams, and Coach Baldwin told me this, you know, an opener at Liberal.
Woo. It's tough. It's going to be a
Hayes
tough
is on the schedule. It'll be at home this year. Great Bend right before Christmas again.
Yeah, you detailed the schedule and how difficult it's going to be. So,
yeah,
it is for sure.
Glacier's Edge will be difficult as well again for the girls.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenge
but,
for both.
Yeah.
Definitely going to be a challenge for both teams coming up next year. Re-racking real quick with Coach Dorsey, what she said. You know, she kind of threw the gauntlet down a little bit and said, you know, I need some help if I'm going to keep the program at this high a level. I don't know how that message is going to land or and how it's being. I mean, I guess from her perspective, it doesn't seem like it's being heard loud and clear. Well, at least maybe it's being heard loudly because with Coach Dorsey, I can't imagine she's too timid about sharing any message that she wants to share, whether it's with her team or anybody else. But it may not be being received clearly. So what, you know, that'll be something that will be very interesting to see in terms of whether or not she comes back based on, you know, what you asked her, Tim, is how that gets handled at that level.
Yeah. Well, we will obviously know if we see her on the sideline or not.
I certainly hope that we do, because I think that she's a terrific coach. Coach Baldwin is as well.
Yeah.
Excited for the future of those two programs. One other thing before we go today, the Coach Lavery Twitter account has got a blue and orange tint on it now.
I guess that answers the question, doesn't it?
I think he's going to Houston Christian, which is too bad. He was fantastic with us, with me personally. So, Coach Lavery, wish him all the best.
Yep, he's got the H.
Yeah, he's got the Husky logo on there now. So, I think he's going with
it. I guess that ends the speculation, doesn't it?
Put the speculation to bed real quick. I will be getting on a Zoom call with Coach Doty at noon. So we'll get some audio we'll have that for you on Monday on sports. So you'll hear from Coach Doty. He's getting on with Topeka Television and me. So we'll have that for you coming up on Monday. Coming up here today on the show, on KVOE, we've got the America East Tournament Championship about a half hour away from pregame for that on Dan, I don't know what.
Yeah, Coach Baldwin was still on the air.
Oh, that's okay. He can listen in. That's
absolutely.
Coach Osterman listened to like an entire Mitch interview 1 week, so that was fine. The Big East Tournament Championship will be at 5:30. We'll have that for you at 5:15 today on KVOE. Tomorrow we'll have the SEC Tournament Championship at noon, and then Selection Sunday we'll find out if those Wildcats will make it. Coming up at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and all that can be listened to right here on KVOE and, of course, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and online at KVOE.com. So that's what's all coming up here for you in terms of what we have on our airwaves. Next week on the show, I believe that we are getting another Emporia High spring sports preview, and I believe that we are doing track and field next week. It'll be just after their first meet, so no better time to have on Randy Wells. And then this other thing just kind of appeared out of nowhere, where I had put in a request to get a Royals broadcaster on, and so I recorded this a couple of weeks ago because they said, hey, Denny Matthews is available today, 15 minutes ago, you just missed your email, can you call him? I'll just call him. So
yeah.
I talked to Denny Matthews a couple of weeks ago. Still timely, because it's before the season started. Talk about spring training. So, so excited to talk to Denny Matthews. We'll have that for you next week to preview the Royals season right here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Anything else, guys, before we step aside?
I do have one thing. I know we had both basketball coaches on, but eight of the Lady Spartans and the Spartans combined will be playing in the Flint Hills Optimist Club All-Star Classic next Saturday.
And, of course, we will have that for you with Michael Deeker on the play-by-play coverage. Dylan Sherwood will be working the sidelines with interviews. You'll have players and coaches on, right?
Yes, I'll have the coaches for the head coaches. We'll interview them before tip-off, and then throughout the games, we'll interview the players, and then we'll interview the MVPs and the winning coach. Yeah. That was fun last year, and I'm excited to do it again. And
I know Deeker is excited to have
Was excited last year. He actually called me Tegan three times last year.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hopefully he doesn't call me Tegan again this year.
So that will be coming up next week on Saturday, and that will be on Country 101.7, unless Kansas State happens to be participating in some sort of a postseason tournament, NIT or NCAA, in which case we'll move it over to Mix 104.9.
And then just one other real quick thing. I want to mention this about next week's Emporia High Gas. Randy Wells, will be Coach Wells' final season as he is retiring.
Sure.
So Bo Welch will be looking for a new track and field coach and a strength coach. So Coach Wells, one last hoorah for him here this spring. So he's been there a long time. Once head football coach and a longtime assistant.
Okay, so it'll be great to have him on next week. So that'll about wrap it up here for us on Saturday Morning Sports Talk for this week. This is KVOE Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Stay tuned. You're about half an hour away from college basketball. We'll see you next week here. Have a great rest of your weekend.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's not clear whether any of the criminal cases against former President Donald Trump will go to trial before the election. The New York hush money case has been delayed until at least April in order to review additional evidence. Meanwhile, an appeal of Friday's ruling from a Georgia judge could delay the election interference case that was brought by the Fulton County District Attorney, Fonnie Willis. ABC's Aaron Katursky says she is staying on the case now that a prosecutor she dated resigned.
Judge Scott McAfee decided Georgia law does not permit the finding of an actual conflict for simply making bad choices, but made clear he thought Willis dating Nathan Wade showed a tremendous lapse in judgment and created such a significant appearance of impropriety, he required Wade to withdraw if Willis wanted to stay. Hours later, Wade resigned, but there is no trial date set.
St. Patrick's Day parades around the country this weekend. The Chicago River is being dyed green today. New York's parade steps off shortly with tight security. The NY